Well, welcome back to all the listeners to Radio Entrepreneurs. And this is Pinch Yourself 2021. And one thing I'm going to say is we are all hoping that this is a better year than the year before. One thing I will say is we cannot totally predict what's going to go on. We do know that entrepreneurs will be staying in business. Businesses will be continuing to try to drive our economy. And we're going to continue to talk to those entrepreneurs that we can get our hands on. And nice to start the new year with Tom McNulty, attorney at law at Landau & Anastasi, LLP. Welcome, Tom. Well, you're the first of the year.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
Right. Tom, I know there was so many things you said that were going on. We're going to let you tell us. What's going on in your world?
Well, I guess in my world, you know, I basically do intellectual property litigation almost as a full-time thing. I do some other bits of law, but I litigate primarily. So my world is, you know, how this COVID virus issue has impacted litigation in the District of Massachusetts, which is, you know, our home district. So that's kind of the point of interest for me. And at least it sort of has had two impacts. One is on the number of filings and the number of cases that are being brought. And the other is what happens to them once they are brought. And as you would expect, both of them are down, a bit, but not as much as I would have expected. Excuse me. There are, in the country, there are 62 district courts. So there's at least one per state, but a number of states have multiple different districts. Massachusetts is a single district court. Massachusetts, the number of intellectual property filings over this past year has dropped, I would say, roughly 25 to 30% over previous years, which, you know, like I say, I would have frankly expected it to be worse than that, given the incredible lockdown on the economy and shutdown of businesses that that took place over the course of the year. So in Massachusetts, for example, the number of patent filings dropped from 54 last year to 36 this year, patent litigation filings, that is. That still makes Massachusetts in the top third of patent cases in the country. Trademarks dropped from 83 to 64, but again, Massachusetts is the top quarter of the country for trademark cases. Copyrights dropped from 51 to 34, but again, Mass is a top third. The only one that actually went up was trade secret filings went up over the year, over the course of the year. Trade secret filings, you know, historically had been somewhat low, at least in the federal courts of Massachusetts. And they went up to 39 cases this year, which makes Massachusetts a top 15, in the top 15% for trade secret filings.
Well, let me stop you there if you don't mind. I would have thought working with entrepreneurs, being an entrepreneur, that we would have been a high state for trade secrets. And the fact that we weren't and that we are becoming one, can you explain that at all to me, what's going on? Because that really is, you know, I don't usually get surprised. I am surprised.
I think there's a couple of things that go into this. In Massachusetts, Massachusetts was one of the last states to adopt the Uniform Trade Secrets Act. And that happened in the early fall of 2018. So, you know, for the last, year and a half now, I guess it would be, there's been this new set of law. It's more uniform with the laws of the rest of the country. And I think that's probably driven some of it. Also, going back 3 or 4 years now, there's a Federal Trade Secret Act that allows you to bring a claim under federal law. Because one of the issues you'll come up with on the trade secret sides of things is trade secret is not limited to the federal courts. It can be brought in the state courts as well. And I don't have the numbers on the state court filings for trade secrets because their electronic record system, is a lot harder to get into and to parse and to sort for these sorts of things. And also, sometimes trade secret cases are brought as trade secret cases. Sometimes they're brought as breach of confidentiality agreement cases. There's a couple of different guises that trade secrets can stumble into court without it being identified, strictly speaking, as a trade secret case. But I think it's probably a combination of that and you know, quite frankly, with everyone working remotely, protecting your trade secrets is sort of a new, you know, big issue that that needs to be brought to mind.
Again, I'm not trying to much of a troublemaker. I don't know if a chicken or egg. Now that you say 2018, you're basically saying, you know, we have basically not too much time under our belt. Is it as much that entrepreneurs are realizing that trade secrets are something that they need to protect, or it's something that the legal profession is realizing they need to protect their clients? So it's a new, it's not, which is true, but it's also a new source of revenue for attorneys.
It's probably a little bit of both. Like I say, with Massachusetts enacting their Trade Secret Act in 2018 and the federal Trade Secret Act being passed in, I don't have that, I think 2016, but that's a little bit of a guess from my hazy memory. you know, those sort of brought trade secret issues to the forefront, probably among entrepreneurs, among business people, and among attorneys. You know, so it's probably, you know, driven a little bit by both. I don't know that the attorney source of revenue is necessarily the biggest driver, because it's unlikely that, you know, that they're just going out and trolling clients for trade secret cases, as opposed to clients bringing issues in and that having, you know, trade secrets turning out to be the solution for the client. I think that's at least how good attorneys approach things. I think that's how it's done.
So, you know, I've also heard that, that you're active with blogging, and that's not usual for attorneys.
It's probably a little unusual. Yes. I've been doing for a little more than 3 years now. I've been blogging about, it initially started, blogging about intellectual property litigation cases that were taking place in Massachusetts. So kind of covering, you know, filings and important decisions and things like that. I've expanded it to include Northern New England, you know, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. I'm sorry, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. Although there's not a lot of cases in those three states. It's still primarily Massachusetts. So the blog was initially called the DMAS IP Litigation Blog. Clever title. I know. and when I expanded, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to leave the name. So it's still the DMAS IP litigation blog, even though it covers a little bit more than just Massachusetts. But it's been interesting. It's you know, it's been a good way for me to sort of really keep tabs on what was going on a, you know, more day-to-day, you know, issue by issue basis. You know, you sort of get the big cases and, you know, the Federal Circuit decisions and things like that from the you know, continuing legal education courses and those sorts of things. But this gives me a much better feel for, like, on a judge by judge basis, how they treat certain issues, you know, how short or how long things will take. Although this year, obviously, that's been thrown quite a loop with the closing down of everything. But it's been, you know, kind of fun and interesting thing to do.
Now, you come from a firm that really does focus in on technology, maybe as much or more than any other firm in the state. Did you see any trends at the end of 2020 before we go?
Well, in terms of trends in 2020, I mean, certainly the trade secret trend is one of the bigger ones. It looks like on the year and you know, probably about what you'd expect, the tech filings, you know, patent filings, one of the things we do, the tech industry seems to still be thriving. And in, you know, some areas of the tech industry are doing even better, because this whole situation is just really geared towards tech solutions. You know, I think on the whole, filings and things like, you know, the chemical fields, the biological fields, things that basically require people to be in-house working on stuff, you know, in laboratories or whatnot, that has definitely dropped down a little bit. You know, as a result of people not being able to be in the office, but you know, the areas of business that you can do remotely and you can innovate remotely have certainly stayed strong.
Great. Listen, if somebody wanted to get hold of you, take a look at your blog, track with you, get to know you, how would they do that?
Well, like I say, the blog is it's DMAS IP litigation blog. So that's, you know, that's certainly one place they can find me. I'm at Lando and Anastasi. We recently moved to Boston. We're now at 60 State Street in Boston. We had the misfortune of moving in on March 1st. So we were all in the office for a couple of weeks, maybe, before we all get sent home.
Well, you know, it's pretty hard. it's pretty hard to be in Boston and not know 60 State Street.
Oh, it's a great location.
Yeah.
And you can get me at TK McNulty at LALAW.com. So LALAW.com.
Well, we look forward to talking to you again in 2021. You look quite healthy, and we hope you stay that way. Good luck this year.
Thank you. Likewise.
And we want to remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and you can find us, and you can find us on many different sources other than just radioentrepreneurs.com. You can find us on Twitter, and just look for Radio Entrepreneurs, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. Wow. You can find Tom just about anywhere with Radio Entrepreneurs. And we will be coming back with more stories after this break.